You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, I was 20 years old when I attended the membership class that brought me into the United Methodist Church. It was taught by one of our old retired ministers, the Reverend David Lee Mounts, who acted old enough to have known John Wesley personally. He had one of those big, old-time preacher, orator kinds of voices that had the big tremolo, enunciating every single word as if it had come from Shakespeare. It was easy to roll your eyes and be dismissive of him, especially when you're overdosed with the arrogance of youth. But when I finally got over myself, I realized this man really had something to say. And he was really concerned about our understanding the spirit of Wesleyan theology and who we were as United Methodist people and just how important it was. Most of the things he was talking about made sense to me. The talk about free will, the talk about grace, the priesthood of all believers, how we organized ourselves as a church, and until we got to that peculiar doctrine of going on to perfection. Going on to perfection. Believe it or not, that's part of our theological history. Now let's pause for a moment to remember a bit of John Wesley's history. His life spanned over 83 years of the 18th century, and he was a priest in the Church of England, remaining that way until the day he died. But he was also, friends, a child of the age of reason and enlightenment. And this was a period in Western history when rational thought and scientific method, to name just two things, were creating a different kind of worldview for society. The superstition, which was woven into so much of what it meant to be part of the religious tradition in Europe and its expression throughout the centuries, was now being questioned in a way it never had been before. And so it was no great surprise that Wesley, through his Oxford education, would be dealing with the new critical thinking that was emerging in his world. And it is safe to assume that this was foundational to his particular notion that faith and doctrine should be reasonable. What we also know is that Wesley's, shall we say, academic approach toward religion also eventually led him to a dead end. He realized that true faith was something of both the head and the heart. It was something which was experienced as well as pondered. And this is something that's really important for us to consider as we try to understand this concept of grace that we talk about in the life of the church so frequently. While grace is, in Wesleyan terms, something critical to who we are and was something that he set forth in very systematic ways, it is, on the other hand, something that really very much is a work of the heart, not the head. Something which is experienced in our practice of religious faith. In Wesley's preaching and his writing on this subject of grace, it ends with what he calls sanctifying grace, which is the backbone of this notion of going on to perfection. Wesley was firm in his belief that part of the task of the Christian was to work toward more and more holy living. Life was not for him something which could be compartmentalized. Faith was something that you don't set aside to pull out only when necessary. It was something which was to be so woven into the fabric of life that you could not separate it from core identity. Wesley's assumption was that over time, if a person was intentional in their faith walk, it led to an increasing holiness to the point of being made perfect in love and grace. Now, Wesley did not see himself as someone who was perfect, but he did indicate in his writing that he knew some of these saints who had reached this state of holiness that he would call perfection. The main thing to remember is that the real operative idea in this concept of going on to perfection, all things being equal, is it's about the aspiration. The aspiration, not the reality of life. We know that we are people with clay feet, people who stumble, people who make mistakes again and again. But the goal is to look toward becoming grace-filled people who desire to always become better versions of ourselves. That is where this idea of what we call sanctifying grace comes into play. Now, to sanctify something in church terms, you could say, is to make it holy. Sanctifying grace is that thing which continues to guide us and refine us in this task of becoming better people. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, how is this different than any of the conversations we've been having these last couple of weeks on the subject of grace? Well, good question. So to remind ourselves, let's see if we were here. We first talked about what kind of grace. What grace was that?
Prevenient.
Yeah, some of you were listening. Amen. That's right. Prevenient grace. And when we talked about it, we reminded ourselves that this is the kind of love or the kind of grace which God has for you and for me long before faith might become a reality in our lives. Some might argue it is the grace which leads us toward God. We then talked about another kind of grace. Now, this was just last week. Sometimes it's the last week that's harder to remember. What kind of grace was that we talked about last week? Well, the choir was listening. Glad to know that. You know, this really is the perfect example of preaching to the choir, right? We talked about justifying grace, which is the grace that emerges, that becomes part of our lives when we make a decision that we are going to intentionally follow Jesus. It is the grace which I believe equips us for this journey. Then we have today's subject, sanctifying grace. And I believe it's the grace which throughout our lives points us toward, if you will, taking the high road. It's the grace that helps us to make our aspiration to love God and neighbor our reality. Now, perhaps you're thinking the same thing that comes to me. Now, isn't this a little bit nitpicky? Isn't grace grace? Well, truth be told, I suspect God probably doesn't care how grace is defined. Grace is grace. And our human need to codify things is one of our peculiarities. Sometimes we get so caught up in talking about things that we forget it is through the experience that many of these concepts start to make sense. My belief is not that grace, so to speak, changes in its essence. But I do believe we experience grace in different ways. That's how we might go about understanding Wesley's writing and concept of grace, that he was trying to speak of grace in different ways, in the different ways we experience that grace. Now, so what do I mean by that? Well, the reason we talk about prevenient grace is our belief that God, and however we might conceive of God, is a part of who we are, whether we acknowledge it or not. Some might say that it's the religious seed that's planted within us, or that yearning that perhaps many of us have experienced, and that thing to which we ultimately chose to respond. We celebrate God's love and grace every time we baptize a child, for example. It symbolizes that God's grace is at work in the person before it might ever be articulated. It doesn't mean that grace isn't there without the act of infant baptism. It simply means that we remind ourselves as a community that the miracle of God's grace is at work and that God's grace is always with us. And that indeed is something to celebrate in community. It's a reminder of who we are and how we think. The reason we talk about justifying grace is because a decision to become a follower of Jesus cannot help but change us. To love God with our whole being and to love neighbor as self, the instructions which Jesus gave to us, it's not something which, as we are well aware, comes naturally. There are times, let's face it, when loving God and loving neighbor is nothing but hard work. We talk about justifying grace because we know it is not an easy task to live out Jesus' aspiration for us. And then we go on to talk about this notion of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace, I believe, can be as much about actions which are grace-filled, in addition to God freely sharing grace with us. Celebrating communion, as we will do later today, is a symbol and a reminder of grace that is at work. And when we participate in this as a community, I believe it changes us. But getting beyond that, let's think for a moment about that portion we heard from the letter of James. Because you see, I believe that this letter of James is a backbone for understanding our Wesleyan notion of grace and how it works in our lives. Simply stated, James went on to say that faith is not enough. Faith needs to have works. Faith without works is a dead faith. In other words, it's not enough to just talk about it, to talk about faith, to talk about God, to talk about what it's doing in our lives, because it really doesn't change us when we just talk about it. Instead, when we actively participate in living in ways beyond ourselves, in living in ways that take us beyond our own needs, that, friends, I believe, is how we start this process of moving on to perfection. That's how we grow in holiness. That's how we experience God's sanctifying grace. Really, the insertion of James' letter into the middle of the New Testament, surrounded by so much Pauline teaching, Paul's writing, it really, I think, needs to be a place where we stop and we need to view it as an exclamation point and a corrective. Paul, as you might remember, was all about faith. James, drawing very heavily on Jesus' teaching, said that faith is not enough. And Wesley saw James as critical in his understanding of Christian living. So you see, sanctifying grace, I believe, is experienced when we participate in those kinds of activities which bring hope to others. We experience sanctifying grace when we address the basic needs of others, when we acknowledge that if everything we do is only aimed at our pleasure, that is not faith. That is an empty life. Furthermore, it is not a Christian life. For Jesus, for James, for Wesley, our actions can never be separated from our faith. That is why we participate in feeding the homeless at PATH. That's why we gather in the fellowship hall for something like Stop Hunger Now. That's why we're going to be working together with other churches to build a home for Habitat for Humanity. Or the money that we shared during a United Methodist Committee on Relief offering to help alleviate suffering because of natural disasters in the world. This is why some of us choose to participate in Meals on Wheels or sit on boards of directors for community social services agencies. This is why the church speaks out when there is injustice and oppression. Because, friends, that's how I believe we most experience God's sanctifying grace. When we are out there in the world, loving God and following Jesus' instruction to love neighbor as self. I believe that's true faith. We have the amazing promise of God never giving up on us and always being at work in our lives. The encouragement, the aha kinds of moments, the will to continue, the surprise we feel when we engage in helping others in ways we never thought possible is grace at work. That is the prevenient and justifying and sanctifying grace of which we talk. The beauty of how God interacts with us is that grace abounds, always. But it is our choice whether we respond or not to this most generous gift. God's grace isn't a medicine which fixes us. It is a foundation for us, a foundation that helps us to move ahead, even when we do not know what is ahead. So what is our choice, friends? Are we open to grace? Are we closed to grace? Are we content with life as it is? Or is God calling us to be something more? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.